This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
The second hour of the Budweiser Sports Line brought to you by our good friends at Bama Budweiser. Remind you to enjoy their product responsibly. Longshore McKnight, raring to go. The NIT begins tonight. The NCAA tournament, well, I guess it does too. But in all reality, it's Thursday when the big dance starts. Troy's men and women will get to going on Friday. We've been talking a lot about that. And right now, our buddy Travis Ryer, he is, of course, at BamaOnline.com, joining us on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. Travis, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing good, but we need some perspective, and we really need it from, you're the one for perspective. That's the state of the program right now, as Travis Ryer is our guy who gives us the insights into things like just how important, how relevant the NIT is for Alabama coming up tonight. Your thoughts on this as it relates to Alabama basketball, Travis? You like it?
Well, I do. I think it sort of depends on what expectations are dating back to the preseason for a team. And I think in Alabama's case, it's a good opportunity. It's one that you should embrace. I know that they were there a year ago, but really turned over that team to from last year to this year. When you look at the guys that are really making the biggest impact and who are going to still be around for a couple more years at least. So I think it's a good opportunity. It's a home game, which that wasn't the case for Alabama a year ago when it had to go on the road to Creighton in the first round. Probably not going to be the most boisterous of crowds at Coleman Coliseum tonight because UA is on spring break. But, if you're Avery Johnson, just in terms of trying to continue to build and ramp up to what should be a very highly anticipated 2017-2018 season, it's a good opportunity.
I'm going to let you be the middleman here on a little discussion we had in the first hour of the program.
There was a little gunplay involved, some back and forth. Neither of us gave an inch.
I tried it.
Yes. Yeah, and you set it up
things
for
got
us.
Things out of hand quickly.
The university is on spring break. Is it like a ghost town up there? I could imagine. Wow. Spring break, it must be like the middle of the summer maybe. I guess they – kids do go to school in the summer, so maybe this is one of the slower times, this and Christmas break. But having said all that, 8:15 start, school's out. I made the statement, don't have anywhere to back it up, but just my personal opinion, that if they just open the doors tonight and let everybody in free, didn't charge them, they could not get 15,000 people at the game tonight.
I think they would definitely struggle with that. I mean, it's Richmond coming in here, not the Cleveland Cavaliers in terms of name brand. So all those things combined, absolutely, I think they would struggle to fill it up tonight. It is, spring break week. I love it because we kind of get our town back for a week. Really not our town,
places.
But it feels, yeah. I mean, you can actually drive through campus if you'd like. McFarland doesn't resemble the Autobahn. And so it's nice, actually, but it's not conducive to a big crowd tonight for a first-round NIT game. If they put 6,000 or so actual in the building tonight, I think that'll be considered a success, or at least it should be.
Sure. Exactly. What do we know about Richmond? I mean, I think this is the third time Alabama's played Richmond. It seems like when they've played in past NIT games, it seems like they always played Richmond. But what do we know about the Spiders?
Yeah, I think it's the first time they've actually met since 1988, so it's been a while. Traditionally a really solid program, up there in an area where hoops obviously mean a lot. A team that kind of similar to Alabama, if it had performed better against the top rival, with in Richmond's case VCU being that team. I think Richmond went 0-3 against VCU this year. Without those losses, perhaps they're much more in the discussion for the NCAA tournament. Likewise for Alabama and being swept by Auburn definitely didn't help the Crimson Tide's chances of something more than the NIT this year. So, you know, a team with one of its best players, similar to Alabama also in that I think four of their top players are either sophomores or freshmen. And as we all know, programs like Richmond typically are at their best when they have those sort of groups of juniors and seniors that have gone through the program sort of together. So in terms of, you know, Richmond being NCAA viable, they're probably still a year or two away from that. They have an excellent young player in Quan Four, who is a Huntsville native, so there is a tie between the Spiders and the state of Alabama from that standpoint. But in terms of marquee or must-see sort of individual matchups tonight, I don't think there's much in that way. It is interesting that with the NIT, you know, you'll see the tournament experiment this year with the 10-minute segments, as they're calling them, instead of quarters. In other words, at the 10-minute mark of the first half tonight, the team fouls will reset, much like they do in quarter play in the women's game right now. So I'll be as interested to see how the format sort of works. I'm a big fan of the quarters setup. I really hope the men's game goes to that.
Yeah, I was reading your piece today at Bama Online, the 5-question spring break edition, and you were talking about that. And I am too. That is one part that I will be interested in checking out tonight, just because I guess the flow of the game will be a little bit different than we are used to.
And I've been to women's games this year over at UA and men's games, and it seems like, and Barry probably can speak to this too in what he does with Troy, but it seems like it's 10 or 15 minutes shorter in terms of game time. Now, maybe it isn't.
Yes.
Maybe it's because the game does move that well. But I think you're stopping the clock less in the quarter setup. Now, tonight, they're going to do 20-minute halves. It's just that I guess what they're doing is at the 10-minute mark, they're just resetting team fouls. Whereas in a women's game, you're looking at one media timeout at the under five versus four and a half for men's. So you're looking at, you know, the quarter break is another timeout and a half. But really, I guess you're talking three media sort of stoppages versus four and a half for the men's game.
Travis Ryer is with us, BamaOnline.com. Like John said, it's no surprise that you come out with something every Tuesday called 5 Questions, and we get to it almost as quickly as it comes out on the Internet. Give us another tease. What other subjects are you addressing in your latest piece at BamaOnline.com?
Well, I've got that up. I've got a position thoughts piece that just went up on the offensive tackle position. So, you know, kind of looking at those. I threw one question out there yesterday that, you guys tell me, a better chance in 2017-2018 of Alabama football losing three games or the SEC getting six teams in the NCAA tournament. And I thought it was an interesting parallel because Alabama football hasn't lost three games in a season since 2010. The SEC hasn't had six teams in the NCAA tournament since 2008. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
So the five teams getting in this year from the league, I think you take that as a real positive. I'm of the belief that in the next year or so, we're going to see the SEC return to sort of that six-bid league, perhaps even go to seven bids in the very near future. But kind of crazy to think that when you look back to 99 to 2008 and sort of that 10-year run, I believe there were 8 years in that decade where the SEC had six teams make the NCAA tournament. Now we've gone nearly a decade since we've had 1 year that the SEC has had six teams in the Big Dance.
Of the five that got in this year, did Vanderbilt surprise you?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, when you just think about Vandy's resume, it essentially comes down to a candidacy built on three wins over Florida. And those are impressive. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, I think there's something to be said about playing your best at the right time of the year. And they did that. And they're one of those teams under Bryce Drew in his first year that you sort of look ahead and think, you know, they could definitely be a staple in the NCAA tournament to help join Florida and Kentucky. And, you know, but the question for Vandy and South Carolina and even Arkansas, teams that made it this year, is that all three have big-time players that they're losing after this season. You know, South Carolina is losing Sendarius Thornwell, the SEC Player of the Year, according to the coaches. Vandy's going to have to replace Luke Kornet, the seven-footer with outstanding range. And Moses Kingsley is in his last year at Arkansas. So whereas you'd like to think that, hey, they were there this year, they'll be there next year, you know, those teams have some questions to answer. That said, I still believe that Alabama will be a tournament team next year. Auburn will certainly be talented enough, in my opinion, to be a tournament team and a little bit more experienced and older under Bruce Pearl in his fourth year. And I think Mississippi State is on the come, too, under Ben Howland. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, those three with Rick Barnes in Tennessee, I think it looks good for the future of the league and the NCAA tournament.
Random question here about football, and obviously you have different eyes on it than I do, but it always seems to me that there's always one urban legend before, you know, spring really gets underway. You know, the Bama fans say, well, look at this guy, wait for this guy, wait till you see this guy. Remember Bo Scarborough was that, Eric Henry was that, and usually it's panned out. There's not been many busts there. I'm hearing a lot about the potential this spring for a real breakout statement from a guy named Raekwon Davis. Do you see that? Again, random question, I realize, doesn't have anything to do with anything, but I'm just wondering, is this a guy who catches your eye as somebody who could really break out this year?
Well, at 6'7" and about 3'10", he catches your eye whether you're trying to look at him or not out there on the practice field. But he is. I think he is one of those guys. And, you know, with what they lost up front, he needs to be one of those guys. Deron Payne, Deshaun Hand coming back. You sort of know what you're going to get out of those two guys. But you need another two or three to go along with them. And I think Raekwon Davis has a chance to be that sort of special player in the future. You don't typically see defensive linemen these days north of 6'5", but at 6'7", this is a guy who, when I look at him, I think millions to be made as an offensive tackle because he has that body type too. It's long, athletic, doesn't look like a guy who weighs 300 pounds, looks kind of like a power forward in basketball, but just has the total package, has the size, has the athleticism, the length, to be one of those future first-round types at his position. So I'd say without a doubt that, you know, Isaiah Bugs coming in as a junior college transfer, obviously a guy that they're going to plug in there too. But Raekwon Davis, another to go along with Quinnen Williams, who redshirted last year, that I think you'll see right there in that defensive line rotation quickly when spring practice gets underway next week.
Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com, joining us here this morning. Another basketball question I wanted to ask you. Alabama and the NIT tonight, we talked about their chances of making it to the NCAA tournament next year. A lot of people certainly expect that to happen. Seems like every year in football, we hear about the status or the future of Nick Saban. What about the status and the future of Avery Johnson? Could you see him going back to the NBA one day?
I could see it one day. You know, I think what helps Alabama is that he still has something to prove here. And not only that, you know, coaching his son, Avery Jr., being here has to help in terms of keeping him here for the foreseeable future anyway, not to mention that he's building a palatial estate out at North River that, you know, good luck reselling that baby once it's done, by the way. But he's not renting, put it that way. I think from a couple of different angles, I think, you know, I would side with him being here for a couple of three more years at least. You never know. I think next year isn't in any way a hot seat kind of year for Avery. But again, expectations are going to be not only for that team to make the NCAA tournament, but to have a chance to be a top five type seed in the NCAA tournament. So I don't know if I'd say it's an important year for Avery coming up. Just that, again, it's going to be as anticipated as any basketball season I can recall in the last decade or so.
Going to be fun to watch, no doubt. Travis Ryer, BamOnline.com. Great work, as always. Enjoy reading all of your material as well as everything else at BamOnline.com. Travis, let our listeners know how they can become more involved with what you guys do there on top of everything Alabama athletics.
Thanks, Sean. Just go to BamaOnline.com or Alabama.247sports.com. Either way will get you to us.
Great stuff. Hey, enjoy your spring break week. No traffic, just an easier pace up there in Tuscaloosa. Nope. Should be fun.
No family even. They're all down there at the beach freezing.
Yeah,
so,
you know, I'm like you, Travis. Mine are actually one of them. Well, my oldest is at the university. He's obviously on spring break, and my other two will be on next week. And it's like, I'm going to have spring break myself right here in Montgomery. I'm kind of, whew, that's going to be kind of nice.
Vacation.
Yeah, no doubt. Going to decompress a little bit. Look forward to it. Hey, we'll talk next week.
Sounds good.
Hi, buddy.
Guys.
Thank you so much, Travis Ryer of Battle.